Hey, this is Steve, and this podcast is all about making the gospel relevant to your life. That means discovering the good news of Jesus in whatever you're going through today. In last week's part of the big story, we learned that it is impossible for us to have a relationship with God. But in today's special message brought by Youth Pastor Jason Turner, we learn that God alone makes all things possible. So let's listen in today as Jason shows us the power of God.
Okay, so guys, we are now in part 5 of the big story. The big story that God is telling from creation to consummation, the big story that we get to play a part in, that we get to glorify God as a part of. And you know, we had the great privilege last week of hearing a message about the original covenant, about how God is holy and we are not. And we have to start out understanding that this is His story, right? Take out one of those S's and what do you get? History, that's right. History is the unveiling, the revealing of what God has done for us. But I don't know about you, but sometimes, I know me, I think it's my story, but it's not. It is not our story. It's His story. And He has given us the amazing privilege to be a small part of what He's doing. And you know, God, in all of His story, it's all going in one direction. All has one purpose. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10, at the right time, He, speaking of God, will bring everything together under the authority of Christ. And everything, what does that mean? Everything, yeah. So that means me and you. That means everything that we see and that we are, that we participate in. God's purpose is to bring everything under the authority of Jesus Christ. And we've seen how in God's big story, the Old Testament points towards Jesus as He's the fulfillment of the messianic prophecies. And the New Testament finds its fulfillment in Jesus Christ. And just to think, from creation to consummation, you and I are just a small blip. And we live about right here on this timeline, right here. And I don't know how that makes you guys feel, but I guess it could make you feel a little insignificant. But guess what? God has chosen to use insignificant people like you and like me all throughout history. We've got His word to show how He has used people just like you and just like me all throughout history to be a part of the story He's telling. And that offer extends to you and to me today. So last week, we learned about the original covenant. We learned about the standard for being in God's presence. The first blank on your page this morning is that God said, be holy as I am holy. The original covenant, God said to be holy as I am holy. Steve, we have the great privilege of having an amazing pastor here who preaches the gospel that teaches us that, how many of you like good news? You're like, everybody, of course everybody likes good news. But guys, track with me on this, because the good news that we receive is only as good as the bad news is bad, right? If we don't see the good news as good, if we don't know and understand that there is bad news, then does it make the good news that good? It doesn't. See, we learned last week that to be holy as God is holy, it's impossible. It's impossible. Isaiah, Isaiah. We saw this in Isaiah chapter 6 last week. And I just want to look at these verses one more time so we can really get a firm grasp of where we stand in light of God's holiness. Isaiah says that it was in the year that King Uzziah died that I saw the Lord. He was sitting on a lofty throne, and his train of his robe filled the temple. Attending him were mighty seraphim, each having six wings. And every time I've tried to picture in my mind these creatures, I don't know, I come up with something that's probably out of a science fiction movie. But just listen to the description of them here. With two wings, they covered their faces. With two wings, they covered their feet. And with two wings, they flew. What did they say? They were calling out to each other, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's armies. The whole earth is filled with his glory." Do you hear it? Do you see it when you look at creation? Creation pours forth with the holiness of God. Their voices shook the temple and the foundations and the entire building filled with smoke. Now listen here. This is how Isaiah saw himself in the presence of that holiness. It's all over. I am doomed, for I am what? What did he say he was? A sinful man. I have filthy lips, and I live among a people with filthy lips. Yet I have seen the King, the Lord of heaven's armies. Wow. Isn't that exciting? Isaiah saw himself before the great holiness of God, and he said, "I am undone. I have come apart. I cannot be here, but I have seen the Lord." We see Paul, Romans chapter 3, "For everyone has sinned." We all fall short of God's glorious standard. You guys that are following along with our Year of the Bible reading plan, we've really seen this next statement played out, but forgiveness is impossible without the shedding of blood. Forgiveness is impossible without the shedding of blood. Now, I don't know about you guys, but this gets me a little squeamish. I'm not a big hunter. I know some of you guys are, and that's cool, but wow. But we see all of these rituals and these sacrifices. I know we're just in the book of Deuteronomy right now and hearing Moses retell about the sacrificial laws. It goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 3. After Adam and Eve, they were tempted and they chose not to listen to the word of the Lord. They chose to be tempted and go away and say, you know, the serpent said, "Did God really say?" And they kind of made up their own truth. As they went down that path, they realized that they were separated from God, so they tried to cover themselves. They realized that they were naked before God, but did that suffice? Did whatever they had sewn together to cover themselves, did that work? No, it didn't. That was just their best effort to cover their shame. But we see that God covered them with animal skins. The shedding of blood had to cover sin. There had to be the shedding of blood for the forgiveness of sin. Romans chapter 6, Paul tells us again, "For the wages of sin is death." That means death here and death in eternity. Got a question for you guys. What's a wage? We see the word wage. What is that? Something earned. Right. Something, or what's a gift? Freedom. Okay, freedom's a gift, but kind of what's the definition of a gift? It's something that given. Do you have to work for a gift? Are you given wages? Are you given wages? No, you have to earn your wages. So we see Scripture's telling us that what have we earned by our disobedience? We've earned death. Yeah, we've earned death. And guys, this is not at all hard to see. When we look around in the world, we see that brokenness is evident everywhere we look. You know, from politics to our government to our social structure, we really live in a place. And I think we all, if we're all honest with ourselves, we all know and we all long for something better, right? We all want to be a part of something bigger than ourselves. Next blank on your page. We've seen that God is holy, and we've seen that it's impossible for us as treasonous criminals, as people who have earned death, to be in God's presence. Next blank on your page. Enter Jesus. Enter Jesus, the one that all of God's story is pointing to. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is, with beyond a shadow of a doubt, the most polarizing figure in human history. Whether you've chosen to acknowledge that he exists or not, you're here. What's today's date? March 5th, 2017. Okay, now whether you've chosen Jesus Christ to follow him, to acknowledge him, when you say what the date is, do you guys know what that date is based on? It's based on his life and death. That's the pinnacle of human history. That's what we have chosen to mark our calendars with. It's a huge impact in all of history. In being the most polarizing figure in human history, Jesus Christ, he will not be what we want him to be. Okay, I want to do a little exercise with all of us. Close your eyes. All right, close your eyes. Now, in your mind, I want you to come up with a picture of who Jesus Christ is. Okay? Anybody got something in their minds? All right, good. Hold on to that image, okay, because we're going to talk about that a little later. But I know a lot of time in our culture, this is really, really big in our culture right now. But we want Jesus Christ to be the cool hipster Jesus, the one who wears the black frame glasses, and yeah, there he is, and he has the cool scarf from Goodwill. We want Jesus to be the loving, accepting, kind Jesus, the one who is super tolerant. I think that's the buzzword for our current culture right now, is tolerance. And man, our culture is really seriously heading in this direction. We are trying to domesticate Jesus Christ, to be somebody who turns his face at sin and mistakes and is always accepting and telling us, oh, it's okay, I'm all about love. Parents in this room right now, okay. Do you think that it would be loving to allow your kids to go outside and play in oncoming traffic? Yeah, that'd be a real loving thing to do. Sure, Johnny, go have fun. I love you so much. I'm not going to discourage you from doing that. If that's what your heart tells you to do, then go ahead and go with it. Well, of course not. I know that's a really extreme example. But guys, God is holy first. All of his other attributes build upon that, but that is what he is. You know, back in Isaiah, where the seraphim, they said, holy, holy, holy. Steve brought this out last week so well, but because they didn't have the different literary devices that we have now, the reason they repeated that phrase three times is for emphasis. There is no other attribute of God given in Scripture that is so emphasized than his holiness. We have got to see God in his holiness and see us in our disobedience in order to truly understand how magnificent Jesus Christ is and how much his sacrifice meant for us then, but really means for us now. Because if we miss this, we are in danger of missing God's purpose in history and for our lives. We have got to get this right. And our culture is really struggling with this now. But you know, we struggle to make our own picture of who Jesus is. But it was the same way when Jesus Christ was here on earth. The religious people, they had an idea of what they wanted their Messiah to be. They wanted him to be a military Messiah. They wanted him to overthrow the Roman government that was oppressing his people group. At that time, here we see Jesus with the sword. Guys, Jesus Christ, he is not of this world. His kingdom is not an earthly kingdom. You know, and even speaking to this, Jesus said that if it was my Father's will, if this is what God really wanted me to do, to overthrow this kingdom here, he could have sent legions of angels to do that. But God is here for a bigger purpose than that. Jesus Christ did not and would not conform to our expectations of him. I love how John chapter 8 really shows us how the people of Jesus' day saw this work out in his life. And we see Jesus here in this chapter claiming to be what they thought he could not possibly be. All right, we see Jesus do four big things here in John chapter 8. Number one, the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, came to Jesus and said, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say?" Okay, they wanted to hear what Jesus had to say. All right, they referred back to the law of Moses. A little further on in the chapter, we see that Jesus spoke to the people once more and he said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. And the Pharisees replied, "You're making such claims about yourself. Such testimony is not valid." See, they had in their mind who they wanted Jesus to be. Later in the chapter, we see in verses 21 and 22, Jesus said to them again, "I am going away. You will search for me, but you will die in your sin. You cannot come where I am going." And the people ask, "Is he planning to commit suicide? What does he mean that you cannot come where I am going?" You see, the Pharisees, the religious people of his time, next blank on your page, they were looking for a man that God chose to make holy, like Moses, like David, like Abraham. But they never expected that the holy would choose to become a man. They never expected that the holy would choose to become a man. We see this all throughout God's story, that he is always looking for a way to come and to be with his people. But his holiness makes that impossible for us. And now the kicker, something that really ticked the Pharisees off in his day, because they saw Abraham as the father of their faith. Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, before Abraham was even born, I am. You guys remember when Moses encountered the burning bush in the desert? Moses asked God, "Who should I say that you are?" And what did God say? All right, we all read this, right? We're on the same page. God said, "I am that I am." Jesus Christ right here is claiming to be God himself. And guess what their response was? They tried to kill him. He did not fit into the way that they wanted Jesus to look. They did not fit in the way that they wanted Jesus to act. They did not fit how they wanted Jesus to fulfill the prophecies in the Old Testament. But isn't that like how our culture is today too? Think back of that picture in your mind that you had of Jesus. How well does he fit into who he claims to be? Guys, because they were literally face to face with him. They were literally in his presence and they missed it. And can we see him? Can I see him clearly this morning? Who he is, who based on who the word says that he is. So let's look at it. Let's look. Let's see who Jesus really is. Not based on what I think or what I say, but based on God's word. Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. Man, we celebrate, we talk about this a lot during the Christmas season, but this word, Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus Christ is God wrapped in flesh. How beautiful is that? How amazing is that? There was a prophet in the New Testament. His name was Simeon. And God had told him that he would allow him to depart, to go to be with God in eternality after he saw the messianic prophecy fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So Mary and Joseph, they were Jewish people, and they brought Jesus Christ to the temple on the eighth day because that was one of their rituals. And as Simeon saw Jesus, he said, "Lord, you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all people." Jesus resisted the temptation that was given to him. Look at Luke chapter 4, verse 23 with me, or 13, excuse me. When the devil had ended every temptation, Jesus departed. Isaiah chapter 61, we get a beautiful picture. And this is what Jesus read his first Sunday in the synagogue. Remember, Jesus opened the scroll, found Isaiah 61. And he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound." These prophecies have all been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And not just these, but all of the prophecies have been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Micah chapter 5, verse 2 tells us where Jesus Christ was going to be born, in Bethlehem. Out of Bethlehem, the ruler of Israel would come. In Isaiah chapter 53, we get a beautiful picture of what Jesus Christ had to suffer through. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised, and we did not care. He was pierced for our rebellion and crushed for our sins. He was beaten. Why was he beaten? So that we could be made whole. We see the exchange here, the great exchange that happens when we humble ourselves before God and accept his method of being holy, when he makes the impossible possible. He was whipped so that we could be what? Guys, do you understand that the punishment that Jesus had, the punishment that I deserved, the punishment that all of us deserve, but Jesus sub in for us in that. It's amazing. It should blow your mind. All right, take a look at this. Let's look at these verses. All right, we're good there. Next one. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own. The Lord has laid on him the sins of us all. That word sin, that just means disobedience. That means that God has set up his laws. And all of us, when we were born set to go down our own path. We were born criminals against the rightful king. And I know it's hard for us. We live in a democracy, a democratic republic, and it's hard for us to imagine what a monarchy would look like. But Jesus Christ is king, no matter what government we have here in the United States. And guys, just kind of a fair warning so we're all on the same page. You know, empires has risen and fallen. We see this all throughout history, okay? So my advice to you is not to put all your trust in our government or in our president, but in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Okay, I just wanted to throw that out there for free. All right, so guys, take a look at this this on the screen here. All right, you guys familiar with what that is? That's a silver dollar. All right, so imagine the entire state of Texas. Okay, it's a pretty big state. It's biggest next to Alaska that we have. Imagine the entire state of Texas covered with silver dollars. 2 feet thick, okay? And imagine that you're riding on a plane over the state of Texas and you have one silver dollar, all right? So you write your initials on that silver dollar and you drop it out the window, all right? And it lands among the sea of silver dollars all throughout the state of Texas. And then you put me right in the middle, okay, right in the middle of the state, and you say, okay, Jason, you can walk in any direction for as long as you want to. And when you're ready to stop, you stop, you bend down, and pick up one of the silver dollars. Okay, what are the odds are, you think, that I would pick out the one that you wrote your initials on? I mean, you guys can talk up, really. I have pretty good hearing, but, okay, it would be really, I mean, there's a chance, but the very slim chance, that's right. It's actually, and I would have put this on the screen, but it's a lot of zeros. It's 1 times 10 to the 17th. That means 1 with 17 zeros after it would be the chance of anyone ever possibly picking up that silver dollar that has your initials on it. Guess what? That is the same likelihood, according to Josh McDowell, of Jesus Christ fulfilling only 8 of the prophecies in the Old Testament of who he turned out to be. And Jesus Christ has fulfilled well over 300 of those prophecies. Jesus is who God really is. Jesus does not conform to our standards. Jesus is holy. And those of us who call Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior are more and more trying to become like him and less trying to become ourselves through the process of sanctification. The next blank on your page, Jesus makes the impossible possible. Jesus Christ makes the impossible possible. Quick question for you here. A lot of times when we're going through stuff in our lives, when people around us are hurting, maybe we've lost a loved one, we kind of cry out and say, God, this is just not fair. You guys ever wished that God would be fair? I mean, let's be real. Come on. I've wished that God would be fair before. I think I've thought that thought. That thought has crossed my mind. But as I kind of really thought about it, really thought about what Jesus Christ did on behalf and what I deserve, because guess what I have earned? Guess what I have earned? Paul talked about this a little before. I've earned death. That's the wages of what I've earned. I deserve punishment. If God was fair, I wouldn't be here right now, and I don't think any of us would be. But see, Jesus did on your behalf and on my behalf the impossible. And see, God doesn't deal with us now in a way that's necessarily fair. God deals with us in 2 different ways that are huge. Next blank on your page is God deals with us in mercy. mercy. God withholds the judgment that we deserve. God withholds the judgment that we deserve. The second way that God deals with us today is through grace. And grace, God grants the forgiveness that we don't deserve. But make no mistake about it, sin has to be punished because God can't be in the presence of holiness. But because we can't do it on our own, Jesus Christ stepped in and took the punishment that we deserved. Jesus Christ, the one who lived a perfect, sinless life, the one who was God out of heaven, who stepped down and chose to wrap himself in human flesh, who has been in the muck and the mire, who was tempted in every way just like we were, but never sinned. Jesus Christ took the punishment on our behalf. He substituted in for us. But guess what? And this is the beautiful part about living the Christian life. He just didn't substitute in for us in his punishment, but he wants to substitute in for us now as we become more and more like him. We all have the amazing privilege of having Jesus on our side through mercy and grace. Ephesians chapter 2 talks about this, and I'm going to read the first 8 verses of this chapter, and I really want you guys to follow along because this has the ability to rock your world, and it has really blown my mind when we really see what God is saying here. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. You know, salvation, gosh, we miss this. I miss this sometimes. Salvation, coming to a relationship with Jesus Christ, is not making a bad person good. It's about bringing a dead person back to life. Bringing a dead person back to life. You used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey Christ. And all of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. But God, who is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead in our sins, because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. And it is only by God's grace that you have been saved. Mercy and grace. Whew! For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us in all future ages. Cynthia, God can point to you in all future ages. Mike, God can point to you in all future ages to be examples of his great grace and kindness toward us, as shown in all he has done for us in Christ Jesus. God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for it. It is a gift from God. It is a gift from God. Wow! What have we deserved? What have we earned? We've earned death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. And no, we can't take credit for it because it is impossible for us. Next blank on your page, what is impossible for me is possible only through Jesus. What is impossible for me is only possible through Jesus. Man. How rich. So Christian, Christ follower, non-Christ follower, do we really believe this? When the rubber meets the road, do we really believe in God? Do we really believe that he is holy What is our view of sin? You know, Charles Spurgeon once said that when you look at your life, if you have a big view of sin, then you will have a large view of your Savior. Because if your sin is small, then your Savior is going to be small too. But if we recognize and we see the holiness and we see ourselves in light of our sin, then we will see our God as a huge, sovereign God who's powerful enough to take away our sin, because he's already been punished for our sin. And then he flips it, and he wants to live through us to do things that we could never do on our own. Jesus Christ says, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, that you can move mountains. What mountains are in your life right now? What things are you bumping up against that seem impossible? Guys, it's through repentance and belief. Do we really believe that it's impossible to please him and that we were born treasonous criminals? Because until we come to that place, we'll never see ourselves with a right view of who God is. But we may end up missing out on his purpose. We may miss out on being a part of playing in the story that God is writing. He wants to use you as an example of his grace. And I have no idea why he would choose me, but he has. And I'm so grateful for that. Another little mental image here for you guys to think about. So imagine if an armed terrorist walked into the White House and said, "All right, guys, I want to have a meeting with President Donald Trump." How do you think that would go over? You think they'd invite him right into the Oval Office and say, "Just have a seat there for a few minutes. I'll go, you know, get him to come in and you guys can meet together"? Of course not. That would be impossible. But think back to Isaiah. Think back to us and the way we try and make ourselves better in the presence of a holy God. Because it was impossible. But through Jesus, it's made possible. Through his sacrifice and through the exchange life we received in him. Last blank on your page. The answer is never for us to become better, but for us to die so that Jesus can live through us. For each and every decision in our lives, for each and every Christ follower in this room, because this applies to us too, two things: repent and believe. Repent and believe. This is the pattern of life for all of us. See, repentance is not just a one-time deal that happens right when you choose to make Jesus Christ in your life. Because guess what? The Lord of your life. Because guess what? Raise your hand in here if you've sinned today. Oh God. Seriously? Okay, because I know we have all. See, if you didn't raise your hand, you're lying, so you're sinning right now anyway. It's who we are, but God has made it possible. He's given us the gift to turn away from that, to see that as ugly and not honoring Jesus, and believing in his sacrifice, believing that he now desires to substitute in for us.
Hey, thanks for listening today. If you're looking for more information about the Orchard Church, you can find that on our website at orchardlaj.com. If you're looking for life group discussion questions to go along with this message series, you'll find those at my blog page at stevedusek.com. I hope you have a blessed week, and I look forward to seeing you next week.